Amen. Remember, Brother Danny, we're talking earlier about the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. And, you know, we've been in a fight, but I'll tell you what, we're on the winning side, friends. Amen. And we're going to fight, but we're going to win. Amen. We got a helper. And the good thing is, I tell you, we saw some sweet victory in here this morning. Amen. And if that don't excite you, your woods, they said, if that don't set you on fire, your woods wet. Amen. I like victory. Amen. And I long to see it. Been praying for it. And I hope you have. And if you have, that's exciting to you. And the theme this whole day, it just seems like this song goes with it. We're going to sing that old song, Every Cross There's a Crown. And, you know, just thinking about people going through hard times and things like that and fighting the devil. And just knowing, brother, it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. And I tell you what, if you ain't joined up in this battle yet, I encourage you to jump on in. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just jump in here and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It's worth it. Amen. I ain't never found nothing better than serving Jesus and fighting for Him and being in His army. Amen.
Mention several things now before I get through tonight, so we're going to have meet, so I'm not going to preach long. Y'all, everybody try, keep your kids off this bank out here, please. There's red mud, dirt all over the carpet right here, And I've noticed they've been out there playing in it. That's very tempting. I would have loved to got in that when I was a kid. And I still would. I'll throw dirt clods. I'll hit you in the head with one. But not on church property. Let's try to keep them out of that because that stuff's just like paint. After service tonight, we need to meet with all of our bus workers briefly in the junior church. Every bus worker of any kind, driver, worker. Next Sunday morning, we're having Cops for Christ. If you want to be here for Sunday school, and they're a fine group of men, got a great testimony. They're police officers. And the Lord, they go around to churches and telling kids we ought to have the biggest crowd on our buses that we've had in a good while. Now, we had a good crowd today. We had one down. A belt broke. We ought to have a big crowd on our buses next Sunday and then spill right on over in the youth rally. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And then also, Brother Jason, Ron, where is that? Tell Ron, Miss Tracy, the kid, your kids, Brother Derek. Let's see, who else have I got? I got a bunch of other people wrote down here I need to see that we can wait on. If y'all will meet me back up here right as soon as the bus meeting's over, have a quick meeting up here. We're going to plan some stuff, and it's getting time. We're at the countdown for the youth rally. And I've got, Carrie, don't let me forget the radio program tonight. She drops it off on her way over here toward where she lives at the radio station. And I've got it out there in my car. That's cutting it a little close. I've got commercials out there and stuff for the youth rally. Our youth rally is the best. It really is. There's no doubt about it. And so there's some things we don't major in, but we're doing that. And so let's really pray. You want to get all your family at the youth rally. This year, I'm putting more emphasis on us bringing our families and people. A couple years ago, there were so many big groups that we couldn't, there was nowhere to sit. They stand around running out in the yard. There was more people in the restrooms over there than some churches I've been in. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, there's a mob everywhere you went. And this year, two or three of our big groups won't be able to make it from Florida because of expenses. One preacher told me, he said, Brother Danny, it cost us $1,100 in fuel. Just went our bus up there and back. $1,100, not counting meals, motel. Another church down in Cape Coral, Florida, he told me the same thing. They had a Spanish church renting some of their buildings, having service every Sunday, and they quit. And so they lost some income, and they're not going to be able to come. So probably 60 or 70 people, not just like that, and that usually come. So let's make it up in bringing our families and our neighbors and our friends. I hope you're already working on your families and friends. So I want to encourage you a little bit tonight, Acts chapter 2. And I just want to give you a thought here tonight that I've dealt with before, but I want to do it in a different way tonight. Give you just a little thought here this evening. And I believe this tonight. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 1. This is a famous verse in the Bible. And it said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, usually, when a preacher reads that verse of Scripture, you know he's going to talk about them speaking in tongues and the baptism, the gift, the Holy Ghost, and all that. But I'm not. I'm going to talk about the words that preceded that. It said they were all in one accord in one place. And that always precedes an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. If you want God to bless the church, you let everybody get in one mind and one accord wanting the same thing. Is everybody listening to me? We got to forget our differences and get our mind on one thing. You want the devil to be in the church? You have people bickering back and forth to each other. That's the devil. God brings spiritual unity. The devil brings all that division and stuff and confusion. There's some churches the Lord can't bless or won't bless because there's too much fussing and fighting going on in them. And everybody fussing each other. We've had it years ago. I had a bunch of young preachers up Marion. And them guys, They got on this kick of everybody straightening out everybody else. And they'd stand around and argue. I mean, raise their voices over Scripture. And probably none of them didn't know what they was talking about completely. And they'd learn something that week, and they'd come in and try to cram it down. And they fussed. And you could feel the devil in there. And you can be... it's not in an argument, people. It's not a matter of who's right. It's what's right. No matter who's right. No matter who's right, it's what's right that's important. We're going to do what's right. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter how you feel, how I feel. It's what's right. What does the Lord? And that's the only way we're ever going to agree. And we're not going to agree on non-essentials, of course. But they were all together in one accord in one place. And when that happened, the Holy Ghost fell on that group. You get a bunch of people praying like we're going to do Friday night. I mean, you get a bunch of people up here praying, and boy, we start praying. Next thing you know, I mean, we're getting plugged in. Next thing you know, we're calling on God. Next thing you know, the Lord says, there's some... You say, well, how many does it take? Two or three.
Yeah.
Two or three. These people think you got to have hundreds. No, you don't. Two or three are gathered together in my name. I will be in the midst of them, the Lord said. And so I'm going to preach tonight, just for a minute, on being 100% willing. 100%. The dream of every pastor is to have a church that is 100% willing. One old preacher said, he said, our church is 100% willing. And a man said, really? He said, that's right. Church I pastor is 100% willing. The man said, really? I've never heard of that. He said, we got it, buddy. He said, how'd you get them like that? He said, 5% is willing to do the work and 95 willing to let them. And that's the way it is in a lot of churches. You know as well as I know, in most churches, 5% of the people do the work. And it's not supposed to be that way. Everybody in here is supposed to carry your share of the load. It may not be the same. For example, if we were moving this table tonight, and I said, all right, boys, we've got to move this table over against that wall. I might get right here. Somebody else might get right here. Somebody else might grab the flowers. Somebody else might get these papers. But we all do our part to get that table moved over there. Now, let's just say tonight that this table would be the youth rally. Our job is to get it over there. Now, I can't do that by myself. I got a lot to do, and I might drag it over. I believe I can. I can. But I'm going to turn the flowers over, or I'm going to do some damage or break something. It sure is better if everybody pitches in. You know what you got in a lot of churches? You got two people trying to do that, and others sitting back here criticizing how they're doing it. Ain't that right? That ain't right, people. I mean, if you ain't doing nothing, you ain't got no right to say nothing about nobody.
Right.
And everybody, all God's people said.
Amen.
I mean, you got people criticizing people, and they ain't doing hitting the lick of a snake. But anyway, we got a job to do. And we're to be 100% willing. I'm calling on you tonight for the next 2 weeks. I'd like to ask every man in this building tonight. I'd like to ask every lady in this building tonight. I'm calling on every able-bodied man and woman and teenager in here to just say, Lord, I'm 100% willing. If it's nothing but just praying and going and singing in the choir, if that's all I can do, that's what I'm going to do. If it's take some of these flyers and take them all over Morganton. Is there one at Walmart? Is there one at the convenience store? I've been putting them up. You could take 30 or 40 of them right there and spend 1 hour. And if everybody would just say, you know what? I want to do my part. You ladies, with the food, or just saying, you know what? I may not can do a lot, but I can do this. Lorraine mentioned something about maybe we might cook some barbecue in crock pots. You got a crock pot, stick some meat in it, something like that. If she needs you to do that, be willing. Be willing. Everybody be willing. But you know what? They were all with one accord in one place. God will bless you. God will bless you. You know, God will bless you with spiritual blessings if you'll be willing to do little old things. I come down here before, you know, and We'd come and play basketball, and I'd bring my weed eater, just weed eat a little bit, you know, like that. I'm not doing that trying to earn my way to heaven. I'm doing that because I believe that every little old bitty thing you do for God, there's a blessing coming from God. I don't believe one good deed goes unnoticed. I don't. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You are making good money when you're doing something for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you don't do nothing but put up a poster and one little boy or girl gets saved and goes to heaven at that youth rally, we'll shout all over heaven one day and sharing the rewards. I'm telling you tonight, we ought to be 100% willing. This is our chance. This is our chance. The next 2 weeks is our chance. Listen, if I'm mad at Terry or if I'm mad at Brother Clark, I'm going to forget it for 2 weeks. We'll fuss after it's over. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I ain't mad at nobody in here. If I'm upset with Brett or I'm upset with Brother Derek, I'm going to put it on the back burner. And I'm going to say, you know what? Let's get the job done. Let's carry the corn in the barn. Let's see the glory of God. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost fall on them kids. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost fall on our young people. I mean, get a hold of them. I mean, get a hold of their heart. I mean, get them where they love to go to church. I'm talking about not where you have to check their car, see what kind of music they listen to, or check their phone to see who they're texting. You know they're doing the right thing because the Lord got a hold of them. I'm telling you tonight, that's the God we serve tonight. That's the God. It's not out of obligation. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Amen. We need 100% willing. Amen. We need 100% willing attendance. Hebrews 10:25 said, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You heard me preach this. Really, that needs to be preached on Sunday morning, and I will. But the Bible said you are not supposed to deliberately forsake the assembling of yourselves at church. Not deliberately. Sometimes, and it worded it right. If you can't, sometimes you have to work. Sometimes some people have to work. I don't want to. I wouldn't want a job where you had to work on Sunday. But if I had to do it, feed my family, whatever. You got to do what you got to do sometimes. It's a necessity. But, I mean, I've heard preachers get up and say that everybody working on Sunday sinning, but they ain't thinking. I mean, I'm glad all the policemen don't take off on Sunday because everybody get robbed. I'm glad all the doctors don't take off. You understand? They take turns and they have to keep things running and they have to keep stuff like that. So we're not crazy. But I'm going to tell you tonight, when I just say, you know what? It's 5 o'clock on Sunday evening and the ball game's on and I ain't going to church. You are doing wrong. You're doing wrong, friend. The Bible said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, if you're sick, that ain't forsaken. If you're having to work to feed your family, that ain't forsaken. Forsaken means deliberate. Forsaken means I just ain't going. That's what forsaken is. The Bible said, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. I'll never forget when I first got saved, I thought that you were supposed to go to church every time they was doing anything. You say, boy, you was a dumb 18-year-old. I ain't 18 now, and I still think the same thing. I still think we're to go to church every time the doors are open, if we can. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. You're not in danger of overdosing on church. I mean, we need to go to church. We need to love the Lord. We need to go 100% attendance. Amen. They did a study not long ago, and they done a survey. When both parents attend church regularly, if both parents come to church regularly, that 72% of their kids go to church regular. If both go. If only the dad goes to church and not the mother, it drops to 50-something percent. If only the mother goes to church and not the daddy, it drops to 15%. Those children going to church. That's what's killing America. All over this country, you got little Baptist churches that's about 3/4 women in them tonight. No sorry man sitting at home, too lazy to get off the couch. And brother, it's like that woman that said she's at the grocery store the other day and she came out like this and she's putting her groceries out on the counter and she's put the remote control out there. And the cashier said, What are you doing with that here? She said, oh, I'm sorry, that fell out of my pocketbook. This is how I punish him when he don't do what I want him to do. That's punishment, brother. He's laying at home without his remote. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. You hear me tonight? They're 100% willing. Amen. With neither parents going to church, you know what the percentage of the kids going is? 6%. 6%. You're going to church every Sunday is more important than them getting a college education. And I'm not against college education. I'm saying taking them to church every Sunday is more important. It's more important. I would rather make less money and have a job where I could keep my kids in the house of God than I would be a bunch of money and let my kids go to the devil and, brother, pay for it one of these days. Brother, we need to be 100% willing in our attendance. And then we need this right quick. I'm skipping some. We need 100% cooperation. 100% cooperation. Cooperation is operate without the CO. The Bible said in Galatians 5 and verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. If you bite and devour, that's some very graphic language. That's graphic language. Paul said, if you bite and devour one another. Now, he wasn't talking about the Christian brother going and taking a bite out of somebody's arm and eating them up. They probably some of them did that. They have vampires back in them days. But you know what? You know what? He was talking about with our tongue backbiting and gossiping and hurting people by our tongue. You can do more damage. That whole thing out there can do more damage than any member of your body. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, that thing's wicked. That thing is wicked. The Bible said if you bridle your tongue, you're a perfect man. If a man keep his tongue in line, he's a perfect man. Ain't many people do it, are they? They'll say something they shouldn't say. They'll talk about something they shouldn't be talking about. They'll criticize somebody. Say something here. Say something there. And somebody was talking to me about Nosebook last night and said, Senator, I didn't see none of this, but it said some bad stuff was being said. I said, it's easy to get big and brave and bold when you're sitting in your room going like this. Like that, you know. And just have that old viper tongue, that old poison tongue going out there to try to hurt somebody. And brother, you don't hear many say, praise God, this one got saved. Praise God, I knocked on 25 doors this week. You ever hear that? No. People sit around and do that. Don't knock on doors for the most part. I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me. We're to be 100% willing in cooperation. I've heard of people getting mad. Romans chapter 12 verse 10 said we're to be kindly affectionate one to another. Ephesians 4 says we have the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we're individuals and we disagree on stuff. But our basis of fellowship is Jesus Christ and the Bible, the Word of God and the hope and the Holy Ghost. And all those things are essentials. We agree on the essentials. We don't always agree on non-essentials. But brother, if we can get them essentials just right and say, by the grace of God, we're going to go fight the devil. We're going to get the job done. God will put His hand on this work and bless it. You know, when the choir was up singing this morning, for just a second, it about got foggy in here. Did you notice that? For just a minute it started getting a little foggy. Oh boy, I love that. It'll lift your burden. It'll ease your heartache. It'll help you to quit your sinning. That heavenly touch on good old fashioned singing and praying and preaching. Brother, it'll do more for you. It'll change your life. Make you want to live right when you go home. There's nothing in this world like a bunch of Christians in one mind, one accord, worshiping God, preaching that King James Bible. Brother, that's where it's at spiritually. And I'm going to tell you something else. Once you've been exposed to that and had a taste of the real thing, ain't nothing else going to satisfy you. I've seen people before leave a church like this, Bible preaching church, and go to a what we call contemporary church. And I see them about a year later and say, how you doing? They'll say, Brother Danny, I'll be honest with you. It's pretty and well organized and everything, but Lord, it just ain't got it. That music, golly, where in the world that music come from? And they say the preacher, everything he says is true, but it's like he's just teaching a lesson or something. She said, it's not spontaneous. Like, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever been in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting where the Holy Ghost got a hold of a man's heart and his head and his tongue and the power of God got down in your soul, I'm telling you, you're ruined, brother, as far as this world is concerned. I got it when I was 18 years old. I went down there to Nebo to Baptist camp meeting. Oh, Ed McAbee got there. I'm telling you, he ripped my heart out. He reached in there and grabbed my heart, spoke blood all over the place. I fell in the altar and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? His finger looked like it was that long. He said, you young people. And at that time, he wasn't like maybe 40s, late 40s. I thought he was 100. And I was 18. And shut up. And his big old finger went down like that. I'm telling you, he went whoom like that right there. And it seemed like every word he said was going pow. Now you can listen to them FM teachers and they're good. I'm not discrediting them. They can help you, they can give some good instruction, family, marriage, raising kids. But I tell you, it don't get that heart like that old time Holy Ghost preaching. You know why? Because all that Holy Ghost preaching, it ain't planned. He don't know what he's going to say when he gets up there. He's got a pretty good idea. Lord, I've been preaching before. I've been preaching before and started on my sermon and went well here somewhere. And a big mistake is when I try to, you don't try to get back. If the Lord got you over here, stay right here. Drop that plow, brother, and plow right on in the garden and tie it up for the glory of God. That's preaching, brother. That's what preaching will do. I'm going to tell you something else, too. A real church is built on preaching, not music. I love music. Lord, I don't know what we'd do without it. It's essential. We've got to have it. But the preaching of the Word of God is what will build a church. It's what will blow the sin out of your life. It's what will straighten out your kids. It's what will make them hungry for God. Hey, brother, we need 100% will in our cooperation. Amen. He said, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Amen. That's some rough talk. You know what he's saying? He said, if y'all don't shut up, you're going to eat each other alive. Yes, sir. You be not consumed one of another. He eats you, you eat him. Like them two. Daddy said, he seen these snakes one time, and these two snakes went out there and opened their mouth and swallowed each other and disappeared. That's what two Christians can do. They just cancel each other out, man. I mean, I don't believe that, but that's what he said. He said, they used to have them hoop snakes. How many of you ever heard of them hoop snakes in the mountains? There ain't but three people in here heard of hoop snake. A hoop snake is a snake running there and puts his tail in his mouth and he rolls down the road like a hula hoop. Personally, I've never seen one. I don't even believe in it. But there's people that swear they've seen them do that. But honest to goodness, y'all ain't never seen a hoop snake. Have you known anybody who does believe in a hoop snake? All them mountain people talk about, Lord, I seen a hoop snake get that little youngin'. It's like a hula hoop running down, rolling down your driveway. I believe he's just doing like this. And it, you know, it looks like it's a hoop. But anyway, them things, brother, they're like Christians. They're like Christians. I was over at the flea market, and guys got snakes in there. I didn't want to look at them. I didn't want to look at them, but I couldn't not look at them. You know what I mean? I don't want them stupid things that make me have bad dreams. They had a big yellow one, that big around it, yellow and white like a python, an albino, sick. It was about as long as this table. And it was going like this. Who in the world would like something like that? Then they had another, and it looked like a little copperhead about that long. I don't know what it was. But that thing was mean. That thing would get you. I'm telling you, that thing would get you. Had that little arrow-pointed head like that. So that thing, like old Dr. Ruckman says, they got them over there. He said, these snake handlers here in the United States, they'll get a copperhead or rattlesnake or something. He said, if they was really real, they'd get them one of them black mambas. My brother, them over there, they said, you know what they call them over there in deep part of Africa? They call them one steppers and two steppers. I mean, you bite them, they bite you, you take one step before you're dead. Two steps, you're dead. Fall over. Snake bite, two step, gone, buddy. You don't see them handling them up there in the mountains of Tennessee. I'm telling you about it. They'll get you. But you know what? That's the way Christians are. Christians are like an old snake. I dreamed the other night, I told you, there was a big one, and he had his mouth wide open. You know how it shows you a picture of his mouth wide open, you can see his thing, and it was looking right at me like he was wanting to swallow my head. And the Bible said, take heed that you be not devoured one another. I want to say also tonight, 100% cooperation. Will you help us? Will you cooperate? Will you walk out here and say, I ain't doing nothing with you throughout? You really believe that's the way the Lord wants you to think? You honestly believe? Here you're sitting here saved and going to heaven, ain't going to burn in hell, and your attitude is, I ain't going to do nothing. That's what's wrong with you. God take you and dangle you over hell about 5 seconds and say, feel that heat. That's where you ain't going. It's okay, Lord. I'll be glad to mow a little grass, set up some chairs, haul off some trash, cook a funnel cake for the glory of God. Amen. Cooperate. Giving. Willing. It should not bother you to give. We are in America. Should not bother you to give. It should never, ever bother you to give your tithes and put God's tithe in that offering plate. It shouldn't bother you. I'm telling you, you know you're getting backslid when you get your check cashed, whatever, and a little boy says, now you need to write that check out for your tithes. I mean, you say, oh, man, that's a lot. I don't even really know if the Bible really teaches that. It's funny how the parts you like, you believe it teaches. The parts you don't like, you just haven't quite seen that in the Scripture yet. I bet you ain't. One man said, I just haven't seen that in the Scripture. Yeah, that, like a thief can't find the policeman. I reckon he can't. He ain't looking for him. You ain't looking for that in Scripture. You put that tithe in there. When I get my check cashed, I'm old fashioned. I still deal with cash. I mean, your card for your money, I want to touch it for a minute before I give it to somebody. All this electronic stuff, hold on, it's a devil. And I know you can't help it nowadays. It's going that way. Well, you never see it. I was telling somebody, I believe it was Joy over there this morning. She's talking about they got a blessing and everything. And I said, you know what? Money ain't everything, and I don't worship money. But we'd be lying if we said, it does make you feel good. You got some, don't you? I guarantee you, buddy, man walk up and put a $100 bill in. You'll feel good walking out of here. I got $100. Honey, let's go to Olive Garden or somewhere. Amen. You know what? We don't worship money, but I'd be lying if I said it didn't make you feel good. It does. It does. If you don't believe it, I mean, it feels good when you get that check cashed. And you take that tithe, and you stick it back there, and say, that goes to the Lord's work Sunday morning. And my tithes are in my wallet, and all week long, that ain't my money. That's the reason I separate it, because it ain't mine. If you don't separate it, what will you do? You'll spend it. You separate it. Write your check, put it down in your purse or in the little compartment and save that. When them offering plates goes around, put it in there, and God will bless you for it. Amen. Ought to all be willing, 100% willing. I'm going to say this and I'm through tonight. I'm not going to talk long. We ought to be 100% willing, just living for the Lord. He gave His all for us. We ought to give our all for Him. I heard about a man, he's a rich man in a town. And this man, he wanted to do something for the churches. And he found out that it was like 40 pastors in a town. He wanted to give every pastor $1,000, $40,000. Every pastor in town got $1,000. And this one pastor was discouraged and got up and resigned his church that morning. So he didn't get his $1,000. And when he thought about it, he said, man, I could have preached one more Sunday and got that $1,000. And somebody said, well, if you preach one more Sunday for $1,000, couldn't you preach one more Sunday for Jesus Christ and heaven and hell? And you see how we get all messed up. If I offered $500, if I said everybody comes go visiting Saturday morning gets $500, we'd have a crowd. I'd come for $500. Be crazy not to. But you know what? The Lord's offering us way more than that. Eternal benefits. That's the way you got to look at it. 100% willing. As we get ready for youth rally, y'all come on. I wish you'd.